This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 22nd, episode 706, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
We hope everybody had a terrific weekend. We had some fun this weekend. I got to drive my pony, ground drive my pony. We'll talk about that a little later. I'll give you an update on how that went and the jerry rigging we had to do to get that to happen. But first, Jamie, I got to tell you, you know, last week we talked about it being our 25th wedding anniversary, Jennifer and I, and my brother knows me better than anybody, the one who lives right down the street from us, and he gave us this card, and I have to read this card to you because I just thought it was funny. And it's just so indicative of our life. So this is the card. Good couples go together like peanut butter and jelly. Okay, so maybe the peanut butter sticks to the roof of your mouth and the jelly gets all over the place. And the whole thing is just one sticky, chaotic mess. But hey, that's the beauty of marriage. So there you go.
25 years. Congratulations.
It just fit, though. This whole thing just fit. That's our life. One sticky, chaotic mess.
I can't wait to hear about the pony, but did you guys have a great 25-year kind of celebration? You were going to take a whole week. You didn't even go to Disney World. I don't even know who you are anymore. What happened? What did you guys do special for 25 years? What was the one thing that stood out and said, this is our 25 years, let's do this? Anything?
No, we did a little bit something. We just did something we wouldn't normally do every day. So, you know, during the week, we went to the movies, we went out to dinner. I actually went shopping with Jennifer and waited patiently and didn't complain yesterday. That was probably the highlight of Jennifer's week, is I went shopping at the mall and didn't complain. And I didn't complain once, did I?
Not a one. I was pretty sure you were ill. I was ready to call a doctor. You went to the mall, Glenn?
I waited patiently while she shopped. I did. I waited patiently. And actually, I ended up buying more stuff than her. So I guess it worked out. But that was probably the highlight of her week. After 25 years, the first time I ever waited patiently at the mall.
Jennifer, ironic that we had almost the same weekend, because for the first time ever in 5 years of us being together, Chad and I went clothes shopping at Old Navy. Same time. And he actually bought more than I did in the end.
Now, was he patient, or he didn't bitch about you taking too long?
He started out bitching constantly because we went into TJ Maxx first, and that was just too much for him. He can't sift through anything. And so we went into Old Navy, which is next door, and he started out bitching, and then all of a sudden he found some shorts that he liked. And then he went, and all that, he's gone. So I'm on my side, and I don't know where he is, and I find him over there trying on jeans. Like, who are you? But my point being, two men in the mall shopping for clothes. That's amazing. So what did you guys shop for? What'd you get, Glenn?
Well, here you get shorts. We don't even buy long pants. I can honestly say in the last 6 months, I've probably worn long pants once or twice. In the last 6 months.
Wow.
When you live in Florida, you just don't wear long pants anywhere. I mean, you just don't. It just doesn't happen.
Well, the reason Chad wears them is because he's riding now, so he needs the long pants. So with a pony, you don't need long pants. How about that?
No, and when you're driving, you don't either. So it's, you don't have that problem.
Exactly.
Chafing is not such a big issue sitting in the cushy cart seat.
Nice. And Glenn, yes. Okay, you were nabbed because I caught it. He also went to the tack and feed store and bought more goodies for PT.
Yes, I did.
He did that, Glenn, death time.
Off.
He snuck out and did that.
Yes.
You know what really sucks, Jennifer, is that Hackney ponies can get incredibly fat. But he's going to get trained to give this skinny, skinny little Hackney pony a bunch of treats. And now, once he gets nice and fat, he's going to continue to give him treats because he's now trained himself to give him treats. And it's just going to be a super fat Hackney pony at some point. I did show Chad the pictures, and we both are just amazed that you can actually make a pony that skinny. I mean, you have to really starve a pony to make it that skinny. But I'm worried, Glenn, that you're going to get in the give the pony treats phase, and you're never going to be able to let that go.
Well, Frankie and I will then, well, we're going to do a show together when it gets to that point. We're just going to talk about how wonderful it is to have little fat ponies. Now, I can only get let him
pony
get...
Pony Treats Anonymous?
Yes, that's right. I can only let him get so fat because, remember, he's supposed to be a driving pony, and he has to fit inside of the shafts. So, you know, they can only get so fat. They have to fit in there.
Fat Pony Anonymous. Here we go. You can't fit in the shaft. We can't even drive him.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, following the enthusiastic and all-encompassing happenings from Glenn and Jamie, we will be enjoying a little jumping chit-chat with Diane Little. And the wacky world of horses is revealed once again, compliments of Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the fray, folks. Wait. Yeah. I got it. So there's going to be a big classroom, and you're going to hear this. Hello, my name is PT, and I have an eating disorder. I have a little bit of a weight problem.
See, I used to be skinny.
I used to be skinny. And now I'm 400 pounds overweight, and I'm only actually supposed to be 300 pounds, period.
Well, my Daily Weenie goes out to some ponies and people that are definitely not overweight, and I want to congratulate Rusty Toth, T-O-T-H, of Durango, Colorado, and his 8-year-old Arab gelding Quake. They took first place in the Tevis 100-mile Tevis Cup on Saturday, and they came in around 16 hours and 57 minutes. 16 hours and 57 minutes on the trail with Quake, and they did quite well. They recovered well. I mean, everything was good. So congratulations to Rusty for that. Jennifer Waite and Jennifer Smith arrived together at the finish line, second, third places at 10:29 p.m. And keep in mind, everybody, that they start the race at 5:15 a.m. You know, you talk about 10 hours or 16 hours, but when you think about it that way, Jamie, that you start at 5:15 a.m. and you get in at 11 at night, oh my God, that's a long way.
That's like the worst road trip ever, and then you're actually on a horse.
I know. Well, another one, too. Kevin Myers did his fifth Tevis and came in fifth and completed his fifth start with the same horse. His horse, Far, F-A-R, has a perfect 100% completion record with over 3,000 miles.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? About half the horses, 75 of the horses finished, and there was like 170 that started. So, and the 75th and final finisher. Okay, keep this in mind. They started at 5:15 a.m., at 4:58 a.m. the next morning, the next day, Michael Costello came in 75th place and was the last finisher. Think about that. Almost 24 hours later, he came in.
Talk about chasing. Oh. Holy moly.
I know.
Good God.
And I want to give a special shout out to Karen Chatton, who we had on the show here 2 weeks ago, and her horse, Bo. And she's going to be the new co-host on our one-day-a-month special endurance episode of Horses in the Morning starting in August. And I'm sure we'll hear all about it, and she'll get some of the winners on and things. But she came in 25th on Bo, so that's not too shabby considering there are 160 riders started, and she came in 25th. She was very thrilled with how Bo came back, and he's doing very well and recovered well the next day, and she was very excited about how well he did all day. So congratulations to Karen as well. Wow, what a
awesome.
What a race. I admire those people. Monkey butt powder must be just at every stop. You know how the marathon racers have the drinks that they just grab? Well, they must have monkey butt powder that they grab at every stop. That's all I can think of.
They keep that company in business. Now, Glenn, I have two daily winnies.
Oh, okay.
The first, it's a very racing-heavy daily winnie, and I'll tell you why. Because I have breaking news for you guys. Breaking news! Guess whose baby daddy is about to be announced? Either today or this week sometime, definitely, we are going to find out who Black Caviar is going to be bred to.
Oh, really? I thought we already knew.
Has raged. Well, why don't you tell me who it is then?
I thought we knew.
We don't know.
No, okay.
This is according to Black Caviar's Facebook page, because we are friends. Black Caviar's husband is to be announced this week, potentially even today. Obviously, speculation has been raging in Australia. They have Neil Worrett, the cart owner, told the News Limited last week that or last month that they have narrowed it down to 6 stallions, 5 standing in Australia and 1 standing overseas. One could be Frankel, one could be any awesome horse in the United States. They would not reveal the location of the overseas sire. But they did acknowledge that More Than Ready is one of the 5 Australian stallions. I'm not that familiar with Australian racing stallions. I just know Black Caviar. So I don't know who that is, but I'm sure it's an awesome horse. So they are going to announce potentially today. They had to wait till one of the overseas part owners arrived into town, and they all met this weekend. They all in one room sat together, and like, you know, I could see them like running their fingers along their beard. Pulling
big
down
cigars.
And saying,
yeah.
Big cigars, you know, twisting their mustaches. So that's exciting. So we may know this week. We are going to know this week who Black Caviar is going to be bred to.
Well, there you go. Do you want to? Oh, you got a second.
All right.
Okay, gotcha.
I got it. It's a girl power kind of weekend because, Royal Delta, who is just, you know, absolutely one of the most amazing mares in our time. She's still running. She's still going. And she won the Delaware Handicap. Mind you, the Delaware Handicap at Delaware Park is just this small race. $750,000 small race.
She's wide and broad.
And she won it. I know, right? She won it by 11. Of course, Royal Delta, just to let you guys know, she is the horse, the champion older female horse in 2012, champion 3-year-old filly, according to the titles, Breeder Cup titles. She also was the one who won the Ladies Classic and then back-to-back Breeders' Cup wins. She's just amazing. And this is her second Delaware Handicap victory in 2 years. So, see how much she won it by. Let's just try that. Let's hear it.
And they're off in the Delaware Handicap. It's a pretty good start for them all. Royal Delta between horses. To the inside, Summer Applause. She's all in toward the rail. Nobody really being urged in this first furlong, and Royal Delta and Mike Smith has a rather easy lead as they come by the finish line the first time. It's Royal Delta leading 4 across the track. She's all in. Summer Applause and Why Not and Centering will be dropping back to last. An easy first quarter for Royal Delta on the front end. Couldn't have written it any better. Opening quarter in 24 seconds flat. Royal Delta, Mike Smith will say, catch us if you can today. Leads it by 2.5 lengths. She's all in toward the inside, closer than usual, right alongside Summer Applause. Then a gap of 2.5 to end one out, and Centrum will have to come from last as they make their way around the clubhouse turn. Smith opens up on Royal Delta. She opens up 7 lengths on the field. She's all in, and Summer Applause are heads apart in second and third. A gap of 4 to end why not, and Sentry continues the trail. Half went in 47-2. He let out a notch on her there. Royal Delta down the backstretch in front by 7 or 8. Summer Applause now solo second. She's all in, racing third, and why not moves up alongside in centering, trying to move from last, but they've all got Royal Delta to catch. She passes the half. The 6 furlongs goes in, 1:11-2. She really poured it on that half mile. Royal Delta in front by 8 lengths. Summer Applause and why not alongside. 2 lengths further back, 2. Centering, moving up on the outside, and she's all in. They've got 3/8 to go, and Royal Delta to catch. She's still winging it on the front end, leaves it by still 8 lengths. And why not, and Summer Applause are still battling in second and third, followed by Centering, and she's all in. They've got 1/4 to go in the Delaware Handicap. The mile in 1:36-1, and it's all Royal Delta on the front end. She's still in command. 4 across the track, battling for second. And why not, on the outside, she's all in, trying to come back for more. But it's Royal Delta and Mike Smith. Royal Delta, the defending champ, is back in her game today, and she's going to dominate in the Delaware Handicap. She's geared down in the final 16th. Royal Delta by 10. The champ is back. She's all in second, and why not third?
Yeah. 10 3/4 lengths is what she ended up winning that race by. Almost 11 lengths. That's ridiculous. I mean, this is a grade one. This is like the top fillies that are around right now, and she smoked them. Smoked them. So I see the third horse of the year for her this year, or at least champion older female horse this year. She's absolutely unstoppable.
Are you feeling better about Mike Smith now?
No, but he's got a little ways to go.
You're never going to forgive him, are you?
I'm just shocked whenever he wins. He usually is in second place in my book. But what? When you've got a horse like Royal Delta, she just ran away with it. It's like he can't not win it. Seriously. Sorry. I'm sure Mike Smith is a great guy. Again, for those who don't know, I'm still mad at him for not moving Zenyatta at the right time in her 20th race against the boys. Oh, don't get me started. I try to ignore the fact that he was riding. I just try to ignore it.
Well, a couple things here before we get on with the rest of the show. One is I'll let everybody know that I am keeping an eye on the Duchess of Cambridge's progress with having her baby. She's in the hospital in labor. So I have the Daily Mail open. And we'll
really? Right now?
Right now. So I have the Daily Mail open, and we'll let you know as soon as we know anything. He will be the third, obviously, in line to the throne when she has her baby. And this will be the first time in history that there's actually been 3 heirs that are alive at the same time, because the queen just won't die and just isn't going anywhere. So,
for her.
So it's the first time. Yep, it's the first time in history, in the history of the monarchy over there. So yeah, we did drive.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
That if I can just, Kate, I'm sure she's listening right now.
Yeah.
When you go in there, and they say, "Would you like an epidural?" Girl, say yes.
Did you say
yes,
no?
Dear God, don't prove anything.
Did you say no?
Hell no, I said no. I said yes, line it up. Let's do this thing. But a lot of people apparently just feel like they have something to prove. And I'm going to tell you, from feeling the contractions from when my water broke to getting to the hospital to getting the epidural, dear God, that's the worst pain. It's like having somebody stick knives in your belly and twist them. It is the worst pain I have ever experienced. So, girl, get the epidural. It was way better after that. Come on. You can do it.
I'm sure she's listening. So we'll keep an eye on that for you, and we'll let you know if there's any developments over there in England. Well, right now, I wanted to mention we did drive PT over the weekend. What we wanted to do, he's starting to gain a little weight, and he's starting to feel better. He's definitely, his eyes are better, and, he's coming around, and we could see little places on his tiny little skinny body where he might have put on a pound or two. So we're sticking to the regime, the feeding regime that Dr. Wendy gave us, and everything that she gave us to do, this whole regime on feeding him up. And then, you know, we have to worm him in a certain order and do, you know, only partial portions. And she has this all planned out for us. So we're following it, and he's doing very well. But we wanted to start ground driving him before he started to feel like a Hackney again and before he got crazy. So we thought, while he's down and out, we'll at least try and ground drive and see what he knows. And we didn't have a bridle. Did you find yours, by the way? Did you come across it?
You know what? I wish I would have told you that I looked for the bridle for you, and I just haven't.
Okay, well.
I told you, you have to text me in the middle of the day and remind
me. Okay, I'll text you in the middle of today and remind you. But we didn't have a bridle because we're kind of waiting to see, you know, how he is and, you know, to get him fattened up before I ordered a harness because you have to do measurements and stuff. So kind of waiting a little bit. So Jennifer said, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We went out and bought him a 4-inch bit. And by the way, 4-inch bits are tiny. So we went out and bought him a 4-inch bit, and Jennifer, using rope and string and bits of leather pieces and duct tape and electrical tape, put a bridle together for him. So, and it was actually very functional and worked very well. I was impressed. So we had these driving lines that we used.
Yeah, it looked pretty. It just looks really ghetto, by the way.
It does. Yes, it does. It does look ghetto. But at least we were able to ground drive him. And then we just put a SIR signal on him. It didn't do anything. We just put it on him so he'd have something on his body. And we drove around.
This is really funny, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The SIR signal?
Yes.
The pad under the SIR signal is actually the fuzzy part of an English girth, a Fleesburg girth. And I took Beaker, who is a large pony, basically. He's only 14.3. And I took the SIR symbol that he wears, and I doubled it over so it's half the size, and it's almost too big for PT.
So
I was going to say, did you have to just make a SIR symbol too? Because, I mean, that has to be – it's like, Glenn, take off your belt.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it on the horse. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I tested it yesterday before Glenn came out. I had put PT on the cross ties. I took Beaker's 44-inch – English girth that he wears. It literally goes all the way around PT's middle, and I can tie the buckles together with a piece of twine on top, and it's not tight. Wow.
Yeah, he's a skinny little guy. But anyway, he did great the first day. Jennifer drove him around the shed row the first day, and then I drove him yesterday, and he made great improvements, actually, from the first day to the second day. And I think he's had some driving experience before. I think that they've worked with him, and I think he's just going to be just fine, actually. We felt a lot better after we drove him around. He was very sensible. He didn't do anything stupid. His favorite gait is stop, so... We had to really push him to keep
good.
It going. Yeah, I know. I like that in a driving horse. I'd rather have that than Bolt. Bolt is not a good gait for a driving horse. So, yeah, so it worked out very well. He's doing very good, and so far he's passed all his little tests. Not any trouble. And he's still cute.
That's amazing.
And he said,
thank
you.
Good for you guys.
I know. It was fun. And thanks for everybody for posting, you know, on the pictures on the weekend. Appreciate it. And I want to just address something. Jamie and I can both address this. We'll see if our answers are the same. There was a lady by the name of Carolyn that said that she is looking for a prospect for her granddaughter, who's 3 now. And a
couple
of years. Yeah, well, right. He said that she likes the way he looks because he looks like a little horse instead of a pony. And they kind of do. I never thought about it before, but they kind of do look like little horses instead of ponies. And she was wondering if they would be a good breed for little kids. And I wrote back and said, not always. That Hackneys do have an attitude, and a lot of them would not consider appropriate for kids. And a lot of them don't ride either; they drive. So, what do you think?
No, they're definitely not kids' ponies. There's a reason you don't see a whole bunch of kids on Hackney ponies, because they are incredibly fast, high need trotters. And so, for a child to learn how to post on a Hackney pony, you'd be going up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, blah, blah. Like the trot for a Hackney pony. And they're also, it's like crossing a thoroughbred and an Arab and getting kind of the worst of both traits and putting it into a quick little pony. You know, they're just really, they're fantastic little ponies, but they're driving ponies. And They're also incredibly small, and they can't hold very much weight at all.
No, you're right. They're, you know, 12 and a half hands isn't very big. I mean, he's going to round out to what, maybe
and they're
400 or 500 pounds, you know, total.
Well, like 12 and a half hands, you know, but they're like 350 pounds. So
right.
They can probably hold comfortably a 35 pound child. And a 35 pound child cannot up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. So definitely not the best idea.
Nope, definitely not. And you know, and that's why you don't, as Jamie said, you don't see them doing anything but driving very much. They're great driving ponies because they're fun and they're fast and they're, you know, they're just fun to drive. But you don't see them too often the other way. Well, let's we have a you know, we announced here on Friday that we have a new app, and a couple a lot of people actually have downloaded it over the weekend. I saw the early numbers, and hundreds of you have now downloaded it. Some of you had a little bit of trouble with it, but we wanted to give an opportunity to for the guy who designed it to talk to us, and he's a really neat guy. He is a true geek, Jamie. He makes me, I'm not a geek compared to him. He's really geeky, and he's a horse husband too, but he also has some other cool apps that he's designed and that we use here at our farm for our horses. So I wanted to give him a chance to say hi to everybody. So let's take a listen to this, and then we'll be back with our first guest in a few minutes. Hi, everyone. Glenn the Geek here, founder of the Horse Radio Network, and we have an exciting announcement for all of you today. Listening to our shows has just gotten easier with the release of our new Horse Radio Network app for iOS and Android. Just search for the Horse Radio Network in the App Store. It's free and easy to use. I had a chance to chat with the developer about it. This is Nick from Equisketch.com. Well, hey, Nick, and welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Nick, I want to thank you, number one. You are the one that built our terrific new iPhone and Android application for the Horse Radio Network. You did a terrific job.
Thank you very much. It was a blast working on the app and learning how your shows work and, you know, understanding the horse community. I think it's a perfect fit for what we do.
And, you know, you did a great job of making it very simple. One of the goals we had with that application was for our listeners to be able to just open it up, pick their show, pick the episode, and hit play. And it does that. There's no garbage. There's no crap in there. It is just that simple.
Yeah, and that's always one of my intents with all of my apps is just to make them as simple as possible. You know, I know horse people, they want their apps to just be there for them and their horses and not let the technology get in the way.
Well, you did a great job with that, and you also do a great job with your apps that you have built. One of them we're going to talk about here today, and that's Equisketch Records. Tell us about Equisketch Records and what it is and what it does for horse people and for our listeners, too.
So Records is a records management app for horses. It goes much beyond horses. You can do your shows. You can do your training, your riders. But really what it was meant for is my wife had a horse and she said, I need somewhere to keep all my records. This paper log I have is heavy and cumbersome to carry around. So we sat down, we talked about it quite a bit, talked to some vets, some trainers, and basically evolved the app over time to what it is today. So you can enter all your information in there, keep track of as many horses as you have. I have users recording 50 plus horses. I have users recording one horse. Every time you put a record in, it generates reminders for you. So next time your farrier's due, you can set it per horse. It's in 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, and it automatically generates an extra reminder for you. A lot of features in there really just meant to put everything you used to keep track of in paper form on your phone.
And I like it too because it sends you a little pop-up window that tells you when, you know, the day the farrier's due or your worming is coming up or your medications, any of those things, the dental. Coggins tests are in there, you know, just has everything. And I like also that you can keep your show results and manage your shows. So there's things in there for the rider, not just the horse.
Yeah, definitely. When we looked at what is your equestrian life manage, right? It's more than just the horse and it's, you know, when is this next shots due? It's also the stuff you do on a horse. And a lot of people have trained students, and it's really good in there to have your riders in there so you can put lesson notes, you can put training records, you can put any other notes you have for your riders also.
And that's unlimited too?
That's unlimited as well.
Very good. Well, I know there are several of these kinds of apps out there now, but I've played with all of them. I'm a geek, so I play with these things. And this is by far the most simple and intuitive one. And, one of the things, we're all busy and we don't want to fight with our applications. We just don't have the time and we won't take the time to do that. So I really like your design style. That's why we had you do the Horse Radio Network app, because we do like it to be simple and easy yet effective. And, I'm not the only one saying that. Horse and Hound gave you the best equestrian app in 2012. Horse Nation voted you the top 10 great horse apps. Horse Illustrated Magazine as well. So, you really have gotten some people's attention out there.
Yeah, definitely. When we first started it was a pretty empty field. Since then, there's definitely been a lot of newcomers. And, one of the things that I strive for is to be here for the long term. I'm not a free app, and the reason for that is I plan to be here for a while. I want to be able to support my customers. I want to add new features. I'm not trying to sell you some other product, right? So the app is there purely for you to manage your horses. I do respond frequently to customer requests. I have a backlog of features users want. Some of them will get in the app in the next version. Some of them might be a few versions away. But, I'm definitely very, very excited about this app. We just released version 2 a few months ago. A major upgrade to it from what we had for the first 2 years, and definitely something I'm in for the long term.
And there's no ads. I really like that about this app too. It'll cost you 2 cups of Starbucks coffee. I mean, that's it. And you're going to have this thing forever. There's no annual fees. You're just going to have it to use for all of your horses from now on.
Exactly. And it's meant to be long term, right? It's you have your records in there. You want your records to live in there. So I don't keep track of any of the data. It's all up to you. I have methods for you to back up your data multiple ways. You can export the records. And then also it's easy to use. Most people use it for less than a minute at a time. They jump in, put a record in, and jump out. It's really meant to be there, not as a game you play for 2 days and you're done, not as a another app you spend a weekend and then it gets slowed down. It's really meant to be there too. I need to check something, get in, get out, and use it for the next 3-4 years.
Very good. And of course, it's available on the iPhone, the iPad, and the iPod Touch. I keep bugging him, everybody, all you Android people out there. I am bugging him about that too. Hopefully someday we'll see that as well. Well, thank you so much, Nick, again, for doing the Horse Radio Network app. You can just search Horse Radio Network in the App Store on iPhone or Android. And for Equisketch Records, just go to the App Store, the Apple App Store, and search Equisketch, and that's EQUISKETCH. Just search for Equisketch Records. It pops right up there to the top, and you can download it, as I said, for the price of 2 cups of coffee. And you also have several other apps, and where can we find those?
Those are at equisketch.com or on the App Store as well.
And those are all horse-related as well, so you can check those out. And one pet one, too, that I downloaded and I'm using for our dog and our cat. So you can find all of those at equisketch.com. Thanks to Nick for all of his hard work. Again, for putting our app together, you can find it in the App Store at the iOS Store. You need iOS version 6 or later for this particular app, or in the Android Store. You can find it over there as well. Just search for Horse Radio Network. It's free, and it's easy to use. If you have any problems with it, just let me know. Either drop me an email or post on Facebook, and we'll help you out if we can. That's iOS. That's iPhone, iPod. On an iPad, you have to go to the tab for the iPhone. There's not a separate iPad. App, you have to go to the tab for the iPhone. So just look for that. When you find an episode you want to listen to, you have two options. You can either stream it, which means that it's just going to play right off of our servers, right onto your phone. You have to have either a Wi-Fi connection, or you have to be connected to your 3G for that to work. Or you can download it and listen to it later, like on an airplane or in a place where you don't have a cell phone signal. I think most people will be just downloading the shows and listening to them that way. So you have those two options. When you get to a show, pick which one you want to do, hit the play button, and go to town. Thank you so much. Saddle up and take a listen, everybody.
Well, thank you guys for listening to Horses in the Morning, and just want to tell you a little bit about our title sponsor, which is Omega Alpha. Robin Donahue, one of our listeners, posted on her Facebook page one of her horses, Hoover, and I hope you don't mind me saying that she did post it on Facebook, so it's not like you're trying to keep it a secret. Her horse, Hoover, has a problem with gas colic, apparently it's a gas colic. And I guess this past weekend, she had to have the vet out. Spandamine, walking, they tubed him, they pumped him full of mineral oil. And I guess, you know, this is kind of a common thing for him. And she said that this weekend he got Banamine, Buscopan, and all of these different things. She offered him plain water and horse quencher water, which is another one of our sponsors. But she also started him on Biotic 8, which is a product of Omega Alpha. And she said she recently won it from Horses in the Morning Wheel of Trivia. Biotic 8, Robin, what you described, and again, this is my personal opinion. This is not like a veterinary opinion. But what you have described is the exact same thing that Jet, my horse, had when he came to me and we noticed he had some problems because he was having these like ripping gas colics all the time. Well, I put him on Biotic 8. And I'm going to knock on wood right now. He has not had a problem with that again. After being on the Biotic 8, he went through the entire container of it. And all of these little teeny, like, just minor colic episodes disappeared. And that's why I say the Biotic 8 saved his life. Because, you know, you can't spend $500 every time your horse colics when it's a constant thing. You just can't afford it. And Biotic 8, I really believe, saved my life, my marriage, and his life, because it really eliminated that problem that we were having, which is those just constant nagging colics. So I really hope you keep him on Biotic 8. I hope you give him the entire container. Do it religiously. It's this really good smelling green stuff. You just take a scoop of it and you put it on their feed. And it really, really worked. And I'd like to thank Omega Alpha. I've talked to them about it before because it's just such an amazing product. So if you are interested in learning more, you can email me, you can email Dr. Chang, or you can go to OmegaAlphaEquine.com and find out more. But Robin, keep us posted and good luck.
Well, that's terrific. And we have our guest on the line here and is ready to go, Jamie.
All right, well, Diane Little is here with her monthly helpful hint for, now, she says it's for hunter jumpers, but I think it's for all riders and competitors, because last time I learned so much about pacing to go to a show jumping course. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about horse show prep. And now I'd like to say good morning, Diane.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I had a baby, and then 6 weeks later decided that I needed to compete my horse. And so I get to the horse trials this past weekend. You guys, you're going to love it. I get there, and I've got to braid him. And I'm like, holy crap, I haven't pulled his mane in, I don't know, months. So I am standing in the barn aisle borrowing clippers and pulling my horse's mane before I can braid him. And by the way, they hate it when you pull their mane and then try to braid them. They don't stand very still for that. So I'm excited about this little topic, horse show prep, because I epically failed last weekend. I was a little busy, but I epically failed. So take it away.
Okay, well, I think that some of the biggest mistakes that people make for horse show prep is that they go nutty when they're trying to get ready for a horse show. They spend, you know, many hours, 3+ hours, giving baths and pulling manes and clipping and, you know, packing, and it just adds to this, you know, stress that everybody feels, you know, right before a horse show. Oh my gosh, we're so stressed out. And, you know, what I tell my students, what I tell everyone is, I'm like, just keep the horses in show quality all the time. You know, if their manes are getting too long, trim them. If they need a face clip, clip them. You know, keep them clean. Obviously, we give baths before horse shows. Obviously, if we need a braid, you have to braid before the horse show. But, you know, we try to keep it so that it's not this huge, you know, ordeal right before you go to these shows. You know, I think that people just put so much pressure on themselves that by the time they get to the horse show, they're exhausted because they woke up at 3 a.m. to give their horse a bath, and you know, we're trying to compete, and we're just so exhausted just because we're trying to prepare.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? That's what I always experienced, being the horse husband. I just thought it was supposed to be that way.
You know, I think that a lot of people experience that, and to be honest, that was exactly my experience as well, is that when I was growing up and whatnot, that's exactly what we did. We just went nutty. And
me too.
I really tell my students not to do that.
Yeah, I definitely did that as a kid. As I'm older, I'm kind of more like you now, where I'm like, okay, this needs to be done constantly. You know, it's got to be, they got to look good and look like this all the time, so you don't spend the day before freaking out, going through hours of prep, getting them clipped, getting them bathed, getting them mane pulled. But, and just this past weekend was a reminder of that. Like, don't do that. Just keep it. Like, do it every day a little bit, as opposed to cramming it, because it was definitely a freak out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you don't want to get there and freak out because your horse's mane is too long. And by the way, you know, it's okay if your horse's mane is too long anyway. But, you know, I really do. I put a lot of stress on the fact that we want our horses looking fantastic. Don't get me wrong. You put so much effort in every day and keeping them looking fantastic. But you put effort in every day, so that when you're going to the horse show, you're calm. You feel good. You know they look great. You know they're in shape. You know you're going to do great. So you don't have that day before, you know, my stress level's over the roof because I need to get them in that perfect, you know, horse show shape. So, you know, I really do encourage my students to look at it that way compared to the old school go crazy.
Yes, exactly. Now, what type of things do you recommend doing? I mean, what are some of the things that you do to get a horse ready for a horse show?
Well, I mean, just in the everyday experience, you keep them clean, you know, you groom them up, you keep them trimmed, you keep the manes where you want them to be. I have my horses on a supplement that keeps their coat shiny, things like that. When it comes to the day before, of course, you always want to give them a bath. Now, I do not allow my kids to come up to the barn if, you know, we leave at 4:30 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I do not allow them to come up to the barn that morning at 3 o'clock in the morning and give a bath. If they gave a bath the day before, we'll make it work. You know, even with my gray ponies, I'll rub some alcohol on them. We'll make it work. We'll make them look good, you know.
Put a sheet on them.
The main thing is a bath.
Yeah.
You know, and when it comes to the tack, yes, I'm sorry. When it comes to the tack, you know, again, you just clean it every day. So, you know, you don't really have to do any big, huge ordeal. You just wipe it down, make it clean like you did every day. You know, make sure that maybe you put a little extra conditioner on there so it's a little shinier. But in general, it's ready to go.
Yeah, I definitely was guilty of that as well. The day before, I'm taking my bridle apart. I'm spreading it on the ground. I'm like, why didn't I do this earlier? And I'm taking my thumb and I'm having to take a wet rag and scrape the dried sweat off the inside of the brow band, you know?
Exactly.
I'm like, God, then you do it. If you just wipe down your tack every day, then you don't have that problem. So we've got the bathing of the horse, the clipping, the pulling the mane, the cleaning the tack. Anything else that we need to concentrate on doing all the time?
You know, I think that, you know, those are the main things that I kind of keep an eye on most of the time. You know, I talked to you guys before about how important it is to, you know, keep your horses fit. You know, we spend so much time sometimes before those horse shows thinking about, you know, their appearance. Don't get me wrong, it's very important that they have that appearance. But, hey, that every day I come up and ride and I work to keep these horses fit and in shape. Well, if you're coming up 5-6 days a week and you're riding, well, you know, you're grooming them every day, you're keeping an eye on them every day, so they should be ready to horse show.
Gotcha. So keeping them fit. Now, how important is keeping yourself fit? Because when you go to horse shows a lot, Glenn, or horse husbands, or anybody, how tempting is it to go up to the roach coach and get a bunch of French fries? So
yes,
let's eat well when we're at a horse show.
It's very tempting. Horse show food is very, very, very tempting. Of course, it's just as important to keep us fit as our horses, you know. Go to the gym, too. You know, you add some of that other kind of physical work, and you do your best to keep yourself as fit as them. You know, you want to be in as best shape for them as possible, just how you want them to be in as best shape as possible for you.
Right. Right. So keeping yourself fit and healthy. And then also probably, you know, I think what I panic about the most is trying to remember and remind and have enough grain and hay and all the food prep and any sort of supplements that I need. That to me is a big part of my horse show prep too. And oh my God, packing.
Packing.
Twice now I've gone to horse trough and forgotten water buckets.
The dreaded of packing. Now, packing is always, for some reason, stressful. It is always stressful, no matter what you do. I highly recommend that people have a horse show bridle and a home bridle. If there's one thing people forget, for some reason, it's their bridle. You know, so I highly recommend, I know it's a little extra money, you keep your horse show bridle in your trailer and you keep your show and your everyday bridle in your tack room. I highly recommend that people get a horse show girth and a everyday girth. Again, those are the things that tend to be forgotten.
Girth.
Your saddle, most people remember their saddle. So, you know, if you can have that separation, if you can kind of get yourself that, you know, I have my bridle, I have my girth, I know they're there. I have my horse show helmet. Again, those are one of those things that kind of gets lost. You know, I know it's extra money, but it just takes your stress level down a little bit to know that you have what you really need and it just lives in the trailer.
Diane, when we had our mobile tack shop and went out to shows all the time, the most forgotten thing we found over the several years that we did that was the girth. We sold more girths to people who were in a total panic. That was the thing that
exactly.
We saw the
most. You know, you're in a total panic when you get that. I don't have my girth. You know, so just do yourself a favor and have two. It'll make your life a lot easier.
Yes, I've been the one who forgot the girth and then had to buy it. And what's the problem is that when you have a mono flap saddle, you need a very short girth. So I had to buy a dressage girth for my jump saddle when I was at a horse show. It's ridiculous. So is there anything you can do to prepare? Now, I know that the U.S. Eventing Association has a checklist on their website that you can print up. Anything like that you recommend for other disciplines?
Absolutely. We have a big, huge list hanging up in our tack room with everything that you need for a horse show. And the younger kids have a copy of the list, and they can go through it, and they put check marks on it. And, you know, what it does for the younger kids is it just teaches them what they need, you know, and how important it is to have it and how to pack, you know, so their parents aren't doing it for them. So we absolutely try to keep it organized and try to help people with those checklists just so that it keeps you at ease. You know, you've done your checklist. If you have all that, you should be fine. You know, you really do. And I keep, you know, my spare pony girth and my spare hunter pad and our spare things that I would never use maybe for my horses, but in my trailer, because, you know, if the kids forget something, you don't want them to be, you know, absolutely losing it before they're about the horse show and not know what to do. You want, as a trainer, if you can, to kind of have that backup just in case they miss it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so to summarize, give us a brief overview. Go through every little thing that you just said so I can make a list and write all of this down.
Okay. You know, my summarizing is that, number one, do a little bit of it every single day. A little bit of it every day so you're not absolutely panicking. You know, do yourself a favor. Have your horses show ready. Keep them clipped. Keep their manes pulled, you know, just so you're not in that panic the night before. Now, I would highly recommend a checklist just like you were talking about, just so you can kind of look over everything, know you have everything. And then I would highly, highly recommend having a extra girth bridle, possibly a helmet, that lives in the trailer so that you're not in that panic when you accidentally forget your girth or something like that.
So have the checklist. Do a little bit of ladies, kids, tack cleaning every day. Do a little horse show prep every day. Get the horses' manes done. Keep them clipped, you know, so you're not breaking out. You want to have the checklist. Get some extra stuff in the trailer. And I think keep yourself fit and stop eating all those French fries. That's just what I got out of it.
That's the hard one.
Stay away from the poop as much as possible. It's really hard. Horse show food's delicious, and it's usually not very good for you. But do your best to stay with maybe like one batch of French fries a day.
Yes, exactly. Well, that is
you,
Diane. Where can people find out more? Contact you. Learn more a little bit about what you do.
DieLittle.com is my website, and then you can always see our Facebook page, which is, you can either go to mine, which is Diane Little, or Piece by Piece Farm. Check out the Facebook page. It has all of our show results and things like that on it.
Great. And that's Piece, P-E-A-C-E, by Piece, P-E-I-C-E, Piece by Piece Farm. Thank you, Diane, for joining us, and we will talk to you again next month and get another helpful hint.
Thank you so much. It's good.
Thanks,
talking
Diane.
To you guys.
All right. She's given us homework, Glenn. We have homework.
Yeah, yeah. The hardest part about that whole thing, in my opinion, is the French fries. I can't stop eating French fries. I like French fries.
Yes. Well, you know what? The good thing is that you're sitting on a cart and you're not going to break your pony's back. So your pony does have a show name. So you will have to show him at some point. PT Cruiser is going to be there in the show ring. So I guess you can't really get too many French fries, though, because he does have to pull your heavy butt.
Yeah, he does. It's fortunately, we live in Florida where everything's pretty flat and there's not a lot of big hills. Believe me, I thought about that. Hey, Jennifer, before we go to today's song, who is the winner of the Trivia Turnaround?
Trivia Turnaround winner today is Darren from Tennessee, who scored a Horse Radio Network mug and canvas tote. Thank you very much to all the listeners who sent in the Turnaround Trivia. What we do on Wednesdays when we do at the Equity MFG Wheel of Trivia on the Facebook page during at the end of the show, I will post the answer to one of the questions that we use, and the clever listeners who listen to the show have to send the question to me in the email. So you got to listen and you got to check out Facebook to win.
Very good. And of course, this week, Jamie's going to be here on Wednesday to help with Wheel of Trivia. This is going to be your first one in a while, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I'm ready. I'm ready to bring it strong. I'm ready to stump some people, and I'm ready to give away some prizes. So everybody better show up on Wednesday, because I am back.
All you regulars that call in and have gotten used to us being a little lax about the 5-second rule, I'm just saying, Jamie's back. So
have you really, Glenn?
A little, just a little. Something Gets Broken by Raquel Renner, Horse Girl from Southern Florida. And we'll be right back with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation and the Wacky World of Horses report.
Friday night, Becky Sue was ready to party. She said, "Hey Joe, let's go out." He couldn't get his own mojo started, couldn't get him up off the couch. She packed up her dog, her dishes, and her records, put some tire tracks in the yard. Left his heart in pieces, now he's hitting the liquor, getting rowdy every night at the start of fire. It ain't a party till something gets broken. She took him up and shattered his world. To keep him crying, he's laughing and joking, getting out, forgetting, now he's missing. And she slipped into that black leather skirt. Walked through the door with a mean looking fellow wearing tattoos and a muscle man shirt. Joe was shooting pool, had too much tequila, got mad enough to pick up a ball. Busted someone's nose and a chair started flying, and it turned into a barroom. Now they're
Was Raquel Renner, and she, as I said, she's a horse girl from Southern Florida, has a lot of terrific music. Something Gets Broken. We did a special musical episode with her a while back. If you want to hear that and you didn't, just go to horsesinthemorning.com and look up Raquel Renner. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is producing today. And we are brought to you today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Did you hear... You had your wedding on the beach, right? If I remember right. Oop, do we not have Jamie today?
I said, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm right here.
Okay.
I said, yeah, I got married on the beach, barefoot in the sand in Florida.
And everything was normal and it all went pretty well. Nothing, no natural disasters or anything happened during the wedding.
It's pretty windy, and in all the pictures, my hair is blown sideways, but other than that, no major problems.
Okay, so you didn't have to rescue any horses out of a burning building during your wedding?
No.
Well, in Aiken, South Carolina over the weekend, that was not the case. Apparently, at the farm at Dogwood Stables in Aiken, South Carolina, They had a wedding going on. It was a beautiful farm. It's, you know, Aiken's a beautiful place, and they had this wedding going on. Well, the caretaker for the farm's name, and by the way, we should have given him a Daily Winnie today. His name is Victor Sombrano, and Victor was taking care of the barn that afternoon. Well, he saw flames and smoke coming out of the barn, which had 24 horses inside. And he ran over, he started screaming to people and ran over and started getting the horses out one by one. Well, dozens of guys rushed over from the wedding to help out, and they also went into the barn to get horses out. By the end, the barn was completely engulfed in flames. I mean, completely engulfed in flames. Smoke filled the thing, but this Sombrano guy was still running in, and he got the last of the horses out. He had to take his shirt off because he was afraid his shirt would catch on fire, so he took his shirt off. And by the time he got out with the last horse, he collapsed from smoke inhalation, and they had to take him to the hospital. But they got every horse out thanks to the help of the wedding party.
Wow.
That's a wedding you'll never forget.
No kidding. No kidding. That's amazing. That's an amazing story. I mean, my gosh, there was no barn anywhere. I mean, where were these people getting married?
Apparently at the farm. Yeah, they were getting married at the farm. So they were right there. They said that normally there would only be this one guy, Victor, there in the afternoon. And if it hadn't been that the wedding had been going on, he would have never gotten all the horses out. So it just was one of those lucky things. He saved a lot of horses that day, and with the help of these people from the wedding. So good for them.
Thank God they all jumped in there. I've got a drama story for you too, Glenn. Our favorite Zenyatta sister, Ablouissante, she was in a race this past weekend and actually had minor injuries. She was at Saratoga in the starting gate, and apparently she started acting up in the starting gate. She broke two teeth in the starting gate.
Holy
she banged. A filly breaking a couple teeth in the starting gate, grabbed herself in a couple spots on her legs. She didn't seriously injure herself, and John Sheriffs gives the credit to the starter who kept her from flipping over and getting underneath the gate. Ugh. I mean, this must have been a dramatic kind of freak out. She was being ridden by your girlfriend, Rosie Napravnik, because her jockey, Junior Alvarado, had actually been hurt earlier in the day on Saturday. And they started her. She ran out of the gate. She bumped into a moon filly after leaving the gate, ran at the back of the pack, and finished last place horses. So not a great day for Zenyatta's little sister. This was her first defeat in three starts, so she's not going to have the 20 in a row that her sister Zenyatta did, but apparently John Sheriff says it was over at the start. She lost her focus and everything. It's disappointing, but it's one of those things that happens with horses. You can't always predict the outcome. He also says that she's never shown any trouble in the gate in her first two starts, so who knows what happened. I mean, my thought is she got stung by a bee. I mean, anytime my horse acts up, and I don't know why, it's because it got stung by a bee. That's what I say.
Well, you know,
but they say
you know
they're going
to. My first thought was, to be honest, my first thought was that you know how women sometimes don't get along. Well, she was used to being ridden by a guy, and all of a sudden Rosie hops up there, and I just don't think she liked Rosie all that much. I think it was just
I would say that they probably shouldn't use her again. I mean, it's just. I wouldn't.
I don't think Rosie's going to be volunteering again either.
Doesn't sound like it, yeah. But they said that John Sheriff says she's a big horse. The gate is somewhat tight. She could be claustrophobic, but whatever it was really set her off, and they're going to give her some time off, a couple days, and then they're going to take her to the gate and school her. He says they're going to spend a lot of time at the gate and get her over whatever it was that set her out. Then they'll come back and start again, and they'll bring her back in a lower profile race. He wants to run her at Saratoga. He's going to be there all summer long, but he said it's hard to say when they're going to run her again until they get her back on track. And John Sheriff is nothing if not slow and patient with these young horses, and these big young horses, especially like Blue Sun and Zenyatta, huge mares. So he's really patient, and we might not see her run again, but when she does run, she'll be ready.
John, I know you're listening. Could I recommend dressage? No gates, big wide open, you know, arenas might be good.
She'd probably make an awesome event horse, man. She'd eat up the distance, make the time at Rolex. I think that that's where she needs to go.
Yeah, no gates involved. All wide open spaces.
Nope.
Yep. Well, let's go. Speaking of wide open spaces, there's somebody else that does eventing coming on the show right now, and that's our weekly visit from Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good. So sorry,
Glenn, I want to start out with a news story for Wiley. Okay. I love to bring this stuff up to her and let her know about this. Leslie, did you hear about the woman who was in England? And she decides to take her horse through the McDonald's drive-thru. Did you hear about this?
Oh, no.
It gets worse. So she's in Manchester. It was Saturday night. She goes up to the McDonald's with her horse, and they refuse service. They're like, well, I'm sorry, we can't serve you. You're not in a car. I've tried to walk through one before on my own feet, and they wouldn't serve me. So you have to be, I think, in a car. She's on the horse. The staff refused to serve the woman due to company policy. The woman then proceeded to take her horse into the McDonald's. She rides it or leaves it, it doesn't say, right up to the counter, and then the horse decides to do its business on the floor of the McDonald's.
That'll teach him.
He takes a huge poop on the floor of the McDonald's. The police were called. The police, I love this. The sight and smell of this caused obvious distress and upset to the customers who were trying to eat, as well as staff members. You know what? If it's somebody who rides a horse into McDonald's, take your business elsewhere. Just go somewhere else. She was actually issued a fixed penalty notice for causing alarm and distress. So I don't know what that is. It is England. They do.
Is that like crying fire
there.
In a theater?
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow, that is classy. That's some classy.
You know what makes me happy about that? You know what makes me happy about that whole story is that it, for once it wasn't in America, in Florida. That's what makes me happy about it.
Yeah, right. And I found this news story on Horse Talk, and I would the title of the article is "Horse Drops a Whopper in a McDonald's."
Oh, yes.
Okay, sorry for interrupting. Take it away.
We can always count on Jamie classing up the show, can't we, Leslie?
That's what I do.
So, Leslie, what are we talking about today?
Oh, goodness. Well, let's see. I guess I was just wanted to tell you guys. So one of our interesting features on Horse Nation is that next to every post we put up, there's a view count. You can see how many people actually clicked on it and read the post, which gives us a really interesting, really pretty accurate idea of, what people are reading, what they are not reading. When we started Horse Nation a year and a half ago, we did not know what to expect. We didn't know what the people wanted. I was like, do they want news? Do they want, tutorials? Do they want funny stuff? I don't know. So we just started throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what stuck. And I will tell you, the three big things that we figured out that people want. And I think it's just evidence of sort of the devolved, depraved, deplorable sense of humor that horse people have.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Close. One, people love photos, videos, anything of people falling off, of other people falling off or almost falling off. That is just guaranteed hit. People love it. I don't understand why. We will keep giving it to them. Maybe people are just glad that it's not them. And it's gotten to the point where people are actually sending us videos of themselves falling off or in the process of just having super awkward moments on horses. But that's always a big hit. We've re-upped this pretty successful series that we had called Oh Crap Moment of the Day, and we've sort of gotten consistent about that in the past week or two, and people just love it. So we had a couple of good ones this past week. One was a horse, a bounce is two set jumps set very close together, and the horse kind of jumps. I guess they don't even put all their feet down. It's their jump, and then they take right back off. And then we had a video of somebody jumping across the spread of an entire bounce. So that's probably, somewhere between 10 and, 12 feet, I'd say. Jumping the
it's
whole
awesome.
Thing in one leap. It's pretty awesome. Pretty what not to do. And then we had another great one that was my other favorite oh crap moment of the day was a Puissance video from the Horse of the Year show. And this horse kind of leaves long, I know I've been screamed at a lot in my riding career by trainers over the years, go to the base, and this is why. The horse kind of stands off from the fence and ends up kind of diving through the wall. So that's those are both worth checking out as our entire Oh Crap archives. I would highly recommend that if you're ever feeling stressed out, feeling down about your own riding and a little morale boost.
I'll tell you what. I'm watching the one about the with the Poussins, and it is a brick wall. It's one of those great big brick walls. And of course, Poussins, you know, they're really high, and this horse just takes the whole one half of it out. And these brick walls are made with actual, like, you know, they're not one big piece. They're made with, like, little, not real bricks, but, you know, fake bricks. And it must have taken them 20 minutes to put it all back together before the next rider could go.
I didn't even think about that. Oh, goodness. So people love watching other people fail. That's one has one realization I've come to about what horse people want online. Two, what they want. Naked and or shirtless male riders on horses or performing barn chores. Another big hit of the week was we found a video. It was a French horse show, French show jumping competition, and the story goes that this guy it was a costume class, but he didn't have a costume, so he just went in the ring in his birthday suit and is, you know, jumping around, you know, fairly, I mean, significant size jumps. Completely naked and bareback. It was hard for me to watch. Glenn, I'm sure it's even harder from a male perspective.
Yeah. I'm actually watching it right now, and I'm not sure what
you
to
say. You have no words.
Yeah, I have no words. I'm just thinking of the pain, that's all.
Well, the first thing that you think of is, oh my God, naked dude jumping a horse?
Yeah.
And then you see it and you're like, oh God. And then the awesome moment where the horse almost face plants into the jump. Oh my gosh. Chipped in so bad that there is just no way this guy did not cringe.
Oh, those landings, the landings just have to hurt. They do. They just have to hurt.
And then I think my favorite part might be at the end, he does not slow up, you know, do a little courtesy circle at the end. No, he hightails it back to the barn, galloping as fast as he can. He's not going to slow down and let people, you know... And the audience is so stunned. They just kind of stand there for a moment before, like, you know, kind of the slow clap again. Like, what just happened?
Now, this is in France. That's where the World Equestrian Games are in 2014. Is this going to be an exhibition sport over there?
That would be okay with me.
By the way, can I bring something up here to get off of the naked guy show jumping? Jennifer posted this morning on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page the mascots for the World Equestrian Games. And I don't know if anybody remembers the mascot for the World Equestrian Games in 2010, which was kind of silly, stupid, too. But they have never done a great job with the mascots for the World Equestrian Games. And I can say, honestly, that France is living up to the reputation of having really strange mascots for the World Equestrian Games. And then I'm wondering, why do we need a mascot for the World Equestrian Games? And I think it's just so we can sell crap. That's what I come up with. But they have Hoofy, Gallopy, Norman, and Pom, I can't even say it. But take a look.
Is it
see
seriously
what you guys...
Hoofy the party horse and Gallopy the athlete? Is that for real?
I don't know. I always find this very strange. It's just very strange.
Oh my goodness.
They didn't sell much merchandise with the. I don't even remember what the 2010 one was. I may remember we were doing the radio show for the World Equestrian Games and we made fun of it a lot. But I don't even remember what it was. That's how unmemorable it was.
And they
never sold much merchandise with it on either. So I just give it up. Just quit making silly little funny horses that.
Nobody wants that.
So, and then you got Hoofy
like
and Gallopy. Where's
Hoofy...
Norman? Come in. Like, sorry.
I like the fact that Hoofy over here, Hoofy has, you know, his party shirt on. He's got like a little bit of, you know, I don't know, it's tie-dye, and he's ready to party. And then Gallopy is like this buff, chesty stud. What is the deal? How come Hoofy has to look ridiculous and Gallopy's all fit and everything? And then Norman's all fat. He's got a huge belly. And then Pom Pomette is clearly a little wide bottom area. She's got a big booty. I mean, why is the girl got to be the big booty? She has no boobs. I mean, come on.
She's a cheerleader.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what to say about this.
Hey, to bring this show into a more...
Somebody is getting way too much money.
To take this show away from the gutter it's been in for the last 15 minutes... I'm going to say that there's something good, really good, that's happened here. And we've talked about it on the show before, and I think you've covered it on Horse Nation as well. And that is the much decorated Marine hero of the Korean War. And you know which one I'm talking about, Staff Sergeant Reckless, the horse who did some amazing things during the Korean War. They have actually now, and this was in USA Today, have done a larger-than-life statue of Sergeant Reckless, and it'll be at the Marine base in Virginia, at the National Museum of Marine Corps in Triangle, Virginia. And they have him. It's a great statue. They have him carrying the mortars on his back, and they have him going uphill because one of the big things that he did, the one battle he was in, he actually had to climb this hill to save these Marines who were under fire and deliver ammunition to them. And he made that trip up this hill like 26 times. So, you know, it was called Outpost Vegas. So, or as 51 times actually made that trip in one day, delivering ammunition to the Marines who were under battle and going to die otherwise. So that's what the statue commemorates is the Outpost Vegas campaign. So just that's had to, I brought something classy. See, I brought something classy today.
Oh, good. Good for you. Pat on the back, Lauren.
I know. It gets no ratings, does it? The classy stuff.
I would like to point out, by the way, that you can wager online the name of the new baby that's going to be for the royal family. I mean, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, there's fevered speculation on the baby name. And according to the Daily Mail, there's people that are parked outside there and have been for weeks outside of the hospital. But bookmakers are taking bets from people who either predicted the due dates or are betting on the baby names. How awesome is that?
Now, do they know if it's a boy or a girl?
It is a boy. They do know.
It is?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I thought that was because they already have him in the line of succession for being, well, maybe I'm wrong.
No, they don't know who it is. They don't know what it is. This is all a big secret.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Okay. I stand corrected. But I'm looking and there's no new news yet. Just she's in labor. Nothing new.
Get the epidural.
She's in labor?
Yeah, she's in labor right now.
Yeah.
The baby will be here today. And guaranteed this is the only thing being talked about in England this morning.
If you're super excited like I am, you can actually go to the dailymail.co.uk, Leslie, and watch a live feed of cameras outside the hospital.
That sounds really exciting.
It shows a door and two guards standing by the door. So you can stare at this for the entire show like I did.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, that's really exciting. Some people walk past.
There's another guard. There's four guards standing outside of, like five. And then there's people walking by. Oh, there's a car.
Okay, so I'm being Glenn Forrester chimed in and said the law of succession was changed to allow females to inherit. So whether it's a male or female, they will be third in line. So thank you, Glenn.
And you know what sucks is Prince Harry gets bumped by this baby.
Yes. Well, the queen is going to outlive them all, so it won't matter at this rate.
That's right. I hope so.
That's true.
Hey, one other thing before you go, there was something also on the Daily Mail, and I know that you've done very well with Horse Nation and that you're making millions of dollars every single week over there at Horse Nation. And I have something for you. There's something for sale in the Scottish Highlands, which who doesn't want to live in the Scottish Highlands? It just sounds cool. Well, this country estate is now available in the Scottish Highlands, just came up. It has 7,000 acres, a salmon fishing river. It has a barn and all that stuff. By the way, it has 8 houses on the property. The manor house is an 8-bedroom, which was completely restored after years of neglect and is in very nice shape right now. And I'm looking at the pictures. And by the way, when you look at the pictures of these fancy mansions, by the way, when you look at the furniture, does any of it look comfortable? Like you'd actually want to sit in it?
No, I always think
that when I look at these pictures of these fancy houses. It just looks like you wouldn't want to sit in it.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is for sale for $10 million. That's all. $10 million. You can walk away with this baby. 7,000 acres.
Wow. Does it say anything about the equine facilities?
Not a thing. Not a thing. Talks a lot about the fishing stream. And there's 5,000 acres that are set aside for deer stalking, and 2,000 for commercial forestry. Yeah, I don't know what deer stalking exactly is. Is that deer hunting, or is that just following them around and getting in their personal space? I don't know.
Filing a restraining order.
Yes, that's right.
You're making me nervous.
Out of my
like
trees.
The salmon.
Oh, there you go. So anyway, I had to bring that up. So there you go. With all the big money you're making over there at Horse Nation, you can go buy yourself a country estate in Scotland.
Wow. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind.
Okay. You do that.
Keep that in mind of my dream.
You know, the upkeep is going to be a lot. There's going to be the most expensive part. We saw Downton Abbey, which I think you watched, Leslie, right? Do you watch Downton Abbey?
I didn't. I haven't seen it yet. I need to.
Jamie, did you ever start it and catch up yet?
Not yet, but I'm going to.
Oh, God, you guys. So anyway, you're killing me here. But that particular estate costs $1 million a year for the upkeep currently, is what they report. Yeah. You better sell a few more ads over there at Horse Nation.
Eight houses?
Yeah. Oh. You have a lot of friends.
clearly.
All right, Leslie. Take care. We'll see you. Horsenation.com.
Okay. Have a great week.
Bye-bye. Thanks for stopping by.
Bye.
I love the fact that on Horsenation.com, the people falling off their horses and the naked horse guy has thousands and thousands of views.
I know.
On Horsenation.com.
I know.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Everything else, you'll notice all the serious sort of articles have like hundreds. And these have like, you know, thousands. Yep. Hey,
yes.
It just reminded me too, there's a storm coming in. It's we're going to be getting one of our daily thunderstorms here where we get 2 inches of rain and thunder and lightning. There were two stories this morning. You know how we're always talking about rescue stories? Well, there were two stories this morning out in the Midwest of riders that had lightning encounters. And one of them, there were 8 horses going out in the trail through the woods. The storm came up quickly. Lightning hit the ground right behind the horses and actually arced from horse to horse. And they had marks and stuff. They were okay. They lived. But they had burn marks and stuff. Obviously, they threw the riders, and the riders, two of them went to the hospital with burns. They actually got burned as well. And then there's this story out of, I'm not sure where this is. It's in the Midwest someplace. And 2 more horses were through the riders as lightning hit to the ground right beside them. So it was a bad weekend for lightning strikes around the country. Sheesh. Be careful if you're riding out there and it's storming.
Well, I just don't ride out there when there's potentially lightning.
Yeah, that's the solution. That is the solution.
That means I can't ride all summer.
That's right. Yeah. Here, it's pretty much true. Every day.
Well, you know, you just can't ride between 12 and 2 every day. That's why they're the worst in Florida.
Hey, you've been getting rain, too, I noticed, on Facebook. You've been getting rain.
We got rain. Yeah, we got rain this weekend and 2 days in a row. And what's awesome about the rain here is that when it rains, it just constantly rains. So it's not like you get a little bit of rain like in Florida every day. You actually get to where it floods because the ground is not used to taking water. And what was really awesome is that we just irrigated. So I flooded my whole property and then we got 2 days of rain. So that's fun.
Yes. So your property's pretty much flooded right now?
Yes, it's flooded. The horses are so irritated. All they've been turned out in is in the arena for the past couple of days, but just for a couple hours each. It's nice, lots of rain.
How does the equity manure fork work in the flooded floodwaters? Does it work in floodwaters?
Well, basically, you just use a shovel to pick up everything because it's just hundreds of pounds of wet poo in their stall.
Oh, yuck. And you get this rain like once a year, right? This is it. You'll have another couple days and then it's going to be done until next year?
Twice a year. Twice a year. Okay. Right about now and right around Christmas time, we'll get it again. So Merry Christmas. It's a flood. Merry Christmas. There you go. Sorry, I'm a little distracted, Glenn, because I just watched the naked horse guy jumping again, and my husband is in the room and is like, what the hell are you watching? Sorry, honey. I swear, I don't watch naked people all the time.
it's horse porn.
Busted.
He's going to take that computer away from you. You're going to come in there next, and there's going to be a password that you don't know.
He's going to make me quit my job. He's like, listen, this job is too much for you.
It's corrupting your morals.
You're not allowed to participate.
All right, that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, you can find all of the links to everything we do at horsesinthemorning.com. All the past episodes are there. Back to episode number one, and we're on 706. You can also follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook, and you can just search for Horses in the Morning, find us there. You can also follow all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can find us now on the iPhone and Android app. Just search for Horse Radio Network, and you'll find us there. Now, you still can't listen to the live show live. Sorry, but we don't have the ability to do that at this point. Someday, hopefully, but you can listen to the recorded version when it goes up. And that's about it, Jamie. If you have, if you want to say nice things about the show, you can write to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com. If you want to say bad things, write to Jamie at Horse Radio. She loves negative mail. It's her favorite thing in the whole world.
Bring it on. Don't send it to Glenn, though, because he'll cry himself to sleep.
Let's say goodbye, Jamie.
All right. Hey, you guys, stick around. Obviously, we're on baby watch, and we're also on stud watch. Black caviar baby daddy to be announced potentially today. Stay neutered and yell at everybody else, though.
See you, Jamie.
Bye.